Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Adore.fm, and ChiroRadio.com, and wherever else podcasts are available. Let's get started with the show. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 309 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks. We've got a great show planned for you this week. A wonderful show. Stephanie, the drummer of the band The Coat Hangers, will be joining us here shortly. Fresh off of the show here in Seattle for the Suicide Squeeze 20th anniversary. It was held there at Numo's. It was two nights. Second night was, I believe, at the Neptune Theater with Minus the Bear headlining the show. Awesome, man. It was amazing. It was amazing. I got a little drunk, I'm not going to lie. I got a little tipsy and kind of made a fool of myself in front of a couple of bands that I knew. We won't go into that, though. But we got a bunch of stuff that we've got to get to in this episode. Because we got a bunch of emails coming in. People asking questions. Of course, if you'd like to do that yourself, you can reach us at, or reach me directly at aaron at air-raid.net. And ask your questions accordingly, folks. Okay? What else is new? Yeah, we're ending the show. Made the announcement on Facebook, as you do on your social medias. A lot of people reached out, and a lot of you, the listeners, sent in a bunch of questions and stuff. So we'll get to a couple of those today, and this week. And got a bunch of great stuff coming up, man, in the show. It's gonna be a great few weeks until we end this here thing. We've decided the first week of October we're gonna end the Air Raid podcast. It will be, well, it'll live on the internet forever, or as long as we can still pump money to keep the website up. Keep telling your friends about it. You can go through all 300 and some odd episodes of the show and still listen back to all the awesome conversations that we had with a lot of really, really talented people. Okay? All right, let's get into these emails, shall we? And then we're going to get to our conversation with Stephanie of the band The Coat Hangers. This one comes from Robert in Florida. Favorite listener right now. Favorite listener, Robert. He is the greatest. He writes in, I compared. Let's see. And you, parentheses, we win. I mentioned how much I love Air Raid to a friend and how much I'm going to miss the podcast. He recommended I try the Nerdist. I picked number 755 with Nico Case. And you are so much fucking better. Nerdist is like a fucking commercial and then the worse. Some asshole texting with the little bubble popping sound in the background. I'm not sure what he's talking. I don't know what you're talking about there, Robert. And then he says, okay, once the interview started, it's not so bad. But not even close to the talent and raw entertainment you produce, kind sir. Oh, that's very, very nice, Robert. Thank you so much. I can only hope your next project starts before I go through the archive. News to come on the next podcast that we're going to be starting, the next project that I will be doing with a great friend of mine, and just got some stuff to hash out, and then we'll make the announcement, okay? But we'll do that before the end of this here show, and we'll let you know, guys, okay? Thank you, Robert. Thank you, thank you. This one comes from Leah, who not only was a listener, apparently, but has also been on the show. Leah, of course, is the bass player for a band called Thunder Pussy here in Seattle, which is really great, and I hope you guys check that out. She's also the drummer, a fantastic drummer, for another band called Sundries, which we never got around to having on the show. Leah writes in on a Facebook message, "I'm Aaron. I'm listening to your most recent air raid with Jay Gregory and just heard the part about you ending the show. I just wanted to send my love and support and let you know I've really enjoyed listening to and, of course, being a part of the show. Your support of my projects has always been amazing and so appreciated. So sorry to hear about the family and health problems. I hope all is going as well as it could be. Looking forward to hearing about what comes next. And a little P.S. here. Let me know when those little ladies of yours are ready for some drum lessons. Thank you so much. Leah, Julius, I love you so much. And yes, when the little girls are of age, we are going to get them into drum lessons, my friend. Yeah, dude, I can't wait for that. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome. Okay, well, moving on. Let's see. Got another one. This is from listener Ian here in Seattle. You asked for questions, so... Ian goes on, I know that you recently had your worst interview ever with Mr. Junior Brown, but before that, did you have another that you would have considered your worst? And have you ever had to, and have you ever had to not even post one because it was so bad? I'm sorry your show is coming to an end. I will miss it greatly. Thank you so much, Ian, and thank you for the question. Let's see. Okay. Worst interview before the Junior Brown one. Huh. Huh. That's a really good question. You hear that in the background? Those are the little girls getting antsy. Getting antsy. They want to watch their movie. Let's see. Worst one before the Junior Brown one. I did one with a comedian a few years back where he kind of got tired of my line of questioning and kind of went off on me. Now, I posted this episode. I don't think I've ever had one so bad that I didn't even post it. I think I've posted every single one. You know what? No, I take it back. The one with the comedian was not bad. I did have a band on this this program a long time ago, from a different country, and man, talking to them was like pulling teeth. It was one of the last ones that I did with a full band, and you can go back and figure this out, I think, if you really want to. Go back in the archives. And I decided from there that I was never going to do a full band interview ever again because it's just too much. It's just way too much. Like, talking to a group of people is very hard. Compared to talking to one person. You can hear my kids out there. Oh my God, this is terrible. This is terrible podcasting. So unprofessional. But I think that one was probably one that I would consider my worst before the Junior Brown episode. That's a really good question, Ian. Thank you so much for asking that. I think I answered your second question too. No, I don't think I've had one so bad that I didn't post it. But you know what? When I was starting this thing out, man, I wasn't the greatest. I wasn't the greatest at doing this, man. Like, I'm still probably not. I'm not the greatest. I don't have any delusions of grandeur here. But you know, it was always fun. It was always fun, except for sometimes kind of embarrassing. And I would always post them though. Okay, moving on. This one is from listener Jen. I don't know where listener Jen is located, but she writes, subject line, I have a question in all caps. She says, hi, Aaron. So I have been an avid listener for probably 3 years now and have heard you refer to your old band many times. Yes, I have. I've brought that up many times to try to make a connection with some of the bands that come in here. My old band was called The Huge. Is there any chance we could hear some of it or where we can find it? You should be insanely proud of this show. I know I am not alone in feeling a bit of loss that it is going away, but all things, right? Thanks for all the years of entertainment, Aaron. Love, Jen. Well, thank you so much, Jen. Okay. Yes, we do get this question a lot. A lot. People want to hear the huge. So I have finally got, this is a source of embarrassment for me. But, you know, since things are coming to an end, I thought that maybe we would, you know, maybe we'd play it, right? So let's see here. This is from the Use. You can find it at, let's see, myspace.com/theUge/music/songs. The Use is spelled, Use is spelled Y-U-Z-H. Okay, or you can search for it on MySpace, which actually still exists. And it's Y-U with an umlaut, Z-H. Okay, this one's called Midnight at the Ramada. This was such a great song. I used to love playing this song. Let's see how it sounds here. Can you hear that? There we are. There we are. Midnight at the Ramada by my old band. Oh, my God. My God, I haven't listened to this forever. Why didn't I look this up before? This is not bad. This is not as bad as I remember. God, it was fun being in that band, man. It was really, really fun being in that band. Oh, so many fond memories. Boy, we did not have a lot of money to make this recording. And, oh, God. This song. Back to the heart, Washington, like a son of a bitch. Oh my God. Oh wow. So the story behind the lyrics of this song. Our bass player, TC Brownell, was the singer on this song. He wrote the lyrics. And he was on tour with another band of his, and they were smoking pot in their hotel room at a Ramada in Montana, and somebody called the cops on them. And the cops knocked on the door, and basically TC said, "Hey, do you have a warrant to come in here?" And they say, "Yes, we do have a warrant. It's got 6 bullets. And then they freaking, like, completely searched him naked and then washed their hands and called it good. For just a little pot. Oh, Montana. We love you, right? Oh, my God. Well, there you go. There you have it. That was The Huge. If you want to find more of The Huge, we've got 3 songs still up there. Oh, posted in 2008. That seems late. I think it was posted before that. But, yeah, you can find it at myspace.com/TheHuge, TheHuge/music/songs. To hear more of that. Okay, thanks, Jen, for conjuring up those memories. Okay, so let's see. We've got the Coat Hangers on the show this week. The drummer, Stephanie, was an absolute fantastic person to talk to. We had a great time. We did get interrupted a couple times, so bear with us on that. Because we were down. I mean, it was just a big party, man. All these bands playing for the 20th anniversary of Suicide Squeeze Records, which I was lucky enough to be invited to the show, and just had an absolute ball, man. It was so much fun. So yeah, we did get interrupted a couple times. People kept on coming into the green room, partly because we were not in the right green room. So sorry about that, band Childbirth. But great conversation nonetheless. The coat hangers have a bunch of shows coming up September 8th through the 10th at the Hopscotch Music Festival in Raleigh, North Carolina. Let's see, September 17th, the 18th, they are in Music Midtown in Atlanta, Georgia, their hometown. And then the September 30th, they fly over to New Zealand and play the Whammy Bar. And then on and on into October, they're in New Zealand and Australia. So check that out. Not a live show to be missed, folks. You need to check this out. It's so, so good. They are a fantastic band. Okay, let's go with our first music break. We're playing music off of the new album called Nosebleed Weekend by the Coat Hangers on Suicide Squeeze Records. So get yourself a copy of that. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears when we return. Stay with us.
Records I hadn't checked out. Ooh. Some old, like, just random, like, French, like, old French random ladies and, I don't know, like, old blues stuff. Just anything that's laying around the house. My boyfriend has an extensive collection.
Really?
So, yeah. So
that's
just
pretty cool.
Trying to catch up on the old stuff. And
yeah. That's pretty cool. Cool part of the relationship to just walk into.
Yeah.
Right?
Just like, these are mine now, too, right? Yeah. Yeah, because they are. I'm just going to go with that.
Yeah.
These are mine.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I would love if my wife got into vinyl.
Oh, maybe. Man. Get her into it.
I don't, that's not going to happen.
Okay. Well, you guys are busy. You guys got two little...
Yeah, we got the
two little aliens.
Fucking... Can we talk about this for a little bit?
Sure.
Is that okay?
I'm down for whatever.
Like, do you ever want to have children?
Not really.
Is that a thing?
Like, all my friends are having kids now.
Yeah.
Because I'm, you know, in my 30s now, so they're all having them.
That's what happens. That's
this is the time, and everyone's getting married, so right. I just let them do that, and then I can be the cool auntie who comes in for, like, a couple hours, and then I can just go off and do whatever the hell I want.
Starting to think that would be the way to go.
But I see why people do have kids, because they are special little weirdos. You know, it's like, they're like, oh, that is cool, and, like, unconditional love, and they're so weird and smart, and they catch on to everything you do.
Oh, yeah.
Which is creepy, but cool.
Yeah, and also kind of scary, too, because, like...
You have to really be careful.
I'm going
to
be completely honest with you. Like, I have a little bit of an anger problem.
Okay. Oh, good to know.
When it comes to, like, bedtime.
Oh, right.
Right? And so I was telling you earlier, like, my two-year-old Tegan is, like... She just learned how to crawl out of the bed, like your younger sister.
Yeah, just climbing like a little monkey.
And even to the point where we put the mattress all the way on the ground in the crib, right?
Yeah.
And she still
scaling
could scale the fucking crib and get out.
I don't know how you, how do you, what do you do about that? You put, like,
I think it's just death. Legs? Like,
just
you just
certain death.
Kill them.
Yeah, they just die. You just find them. Yeah.
No, Son you kill them yourself is what I...
you, oh, you murdered... Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Which is...
Well,
kind of,
no, and... You know. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. See what it turns out... Turns into, I guess. I don't know. There should be, like, super awesome rock climber or something. I don't know.
I think she's...
My
the...
sister turned out really well, so...
Okay, good.
Yeah,
what does your sister,
like,
do now?
Well, she went to art school. So
okay.
She's, she studied art history, and now she works as a waitress. So, but art school... She's still figuring it out, like all of us, I think, you know?
Yeah,
there's no finish line. But, I think a lot of art school majors will understand that.
I would love it if Tegan would grow up to be an artist. I think that's a very real possibility. She is absolutely crazy. She's obviously
got some sort of
abstract thing going on in her mind.
Finger paints and stuff.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I mean... You know, and she's the one that just always gets dirty. Her older sister is the one that's always into princesses and stuff. But she just loves. She'll, like, today, she went out with my wife. Is this boring?
No.
Okay,
not
cool.
At all.
So she went out with my wife today and just played in the woods.
Yeah.
And, like, just proceeded to, like, literally rub
dirt
on her face.
Yeah, we used to make mud pies. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Mud pie's a thing over here in Seattle.
Okay, yeah. So that's good. Just let her be dirty. Just hose her off at the end of the day and
okay.
Wear her out, and then she sleeps, hopefully. I don't know. Is baby NyQuil a thing?
I'm getting a lot of good information from you,
right?
I think. Like, you should do a parenting class.
Oh,
I used
to do a lot of babysitting growing up.
Yeah, did
so,
you?
So, yeah, in the neighborhood. So, because I was one of the older kids. Yeah, so I think
What kind of babysitter were you?
I was a cool babysitter, but when it was bedtime, it was bedtime. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, okay, just no more fucking around. It's time to go
like
to bed.
What age are we talking about?
What's the youngest child that you did? It was a baby, and then like a 5-year-old, and then like an 8-year-old was one family, and then the other one was a baby, and then like a 3-year-old. And oh my god, that's when Barney was a big thing.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, yeah. So we would just watch the same episode over and over and over.
Yeah,
and
that's a real thing, man.
And I was like, well, if she just sits still, I'll do it. Like, I'll take one for the team.
Right.
And just watch that shit all day long. but I think, you know, having kids is obviously, there's got to be something awesome to it. Otherwise, other people wouldn't be doing it so much, you know?
Well, I think it's partly because of just sex.
For me, yeah. Like, for me, if I could get, like, if guys got pregnant, like, I'd have kids all over the world. Like, about that. Yeah. Like, totally all about that. Because then I'd just see them whenever I feel like it and just be kind of like that kind of asshole of a parent. But... Yeah, but I don't, like, the whole idea of getting pregnant just sounds awful, and
I don't know if I'm
cut out for that.
It's terrible. It's a terrible thing.
I've been treating my body like a wasteland for 15 years, so I don't know what we'd even come out. How many
toes would be missing?
How many teeth it would have? It would just come out with a full set of teeth. It'd just be
awful.
Do you think
you got kind of a bum rap? Like, women in general, did women get a bum rap?
Yes,
like,
of course. I mean,
having
there's
to
not
be
even,
the bearer of the children?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because there's not even, like, in the States, like, women don't even get time off to have kids. Over in Europe, they get, like, 6 months.
Yeah, it all depends on like, where they work.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And over here, it's just like, well,
it's awful.
You just have that and then, you know, get back to work. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
So, but whatever. You know, what are you going to do? There's nothing to change that. I don't think.
I guess you can't. Yeah, you really can't change the physiology.
Yeah.
Unless, like, the movie Junior becomes an actual reality.
Yeah.
Right?
Love Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not one of his finest works, but, yeah, I'd watch it right now. Yeah. I'm not above it. Yeah.
Have you seen your green room, by the way? They got all sorts of VHS tapes.
Yeah, I
Junior's probably in there.
I was about to say, that seems like it would totally be in there.
Yeah, I'm probably taking up your time from
right
watching some sort
like
of shitty
1985
movie.
Yeah. I'm all about those shitty movies.
I'm sorry.
Ooh, I know. I've got no taste.
No. I was apologizing that I'm taking you away from that. Like,
no,
I'm the same way. What's like? So, oh my God! What? I got to talk to John Carpenter on this show.
Oh, really?
I know you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
What's he like?
He's
terrifying.
Not into interviews.
I can see that.
Yeah. One of the first things he said to me was, because it was over the phone. And I was actually with my kids at this place called the Great Wolf Lodge, which is like
an indoor
water park.
And they have the indoor,
yeah.
Always wanted to go on.
And so I took an hour off mm-hmm. from the family, and I had this interview scheduled with John Carpenter. And so I call him up. I've got his home phone number,
okay.
by the way, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, I just
that's awesome that he still has a house phone.
Anytime if you want it.
No.
You know, I'll
no,
just
no,
give
no.
it to you. And so I asked him, I was like, you're probably old hat at this, you know, and kind of explaining like how things are supposed to go a little bit.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I hate radio interviews.
Well, like, with that said,
okay,
let's move forward.
Let's get right into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, let's just jump right into
oh,
it.
Oh, shit.
Good Lord.
But he was all right.
Did it work out?
Yeah, it totally worked out.
Okay.
It totally worked out.
That's all
he was just very short, you know, answers very short. Wasn't into, like, banter like you and I are doing right now, you know? It's like, really, and I was so fucking nervous, too,
yeah,
you know?
That's a big deal.
Yeah,
what was the
last
movie he made?
It's got to be...
what was the last thing he did?
Some sort of, like, Halloween movie, I guess.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he did. He does one thing that I didn't know after doing the research is he does all of the music for his movies.
Okay, I didn't
or
know
most
that.
Of it. So he wrote.
So he's insane.
He wrote. Yeah, totally.
So he's a crazy person.
He's a crazy genius.
He's creepy. Yeah, creepy and yeah, genius. Okay,
yeah.
I got you.
Because like he did the music for Halloween.
Yeah,
the original Halloween.
And that's timeless. Yeah, and it's the creepiest one of the creepiest movie songs of all time.
Yeah.
And everyone knows when it comes on what it is.
Yeah,
which
and
I
I'm
think is impressive.
I'm not going to tell you the answer, but he explained how he came up with that.
Ooh, secrets.
On the show.
Every man has to have a secret. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. You gotta go and download
I gotta
that.
Listen
So, you are the drummer for the Coat Hangers,
yes.
who are playing tonight for the 20th anniversary of Suicide Squeeze Records, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
When did you guys get hooked up with Suicide Squeeze? Was that the last album?
No, we've been with David since pretty much the beginning. Like
you
maybe,
have?
Yeah, like our first album was put out by a local Atlanta record label called Rob's House Records and Die Slaughterhouse Records.
Okay.
And then after that, that's when David approached us through email or Facebook or MySpace or something like that.
Yeah.
And we thought it was a joke, so we didn't reply to him. It was like,
yeah.
Hey, I really like your music. I have this record label in Seattle. And we're like, psh.
Did you know of Suicide Squeeze?
No, like, I mean, well, kind of because of we were big fans of like Modest Mouse and Elliot Smith, and he put out, you know, their first stuff. And
yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, there's no way. Like, that's a joke. Like, someone's fucking, because we used to get fucked with a lot at the beginning. Like, yeah.
Like what?
Just people hated us because, I mean, you know, to be honest, like, we weren't the best at what we did because we didn't know how to play our instruments when we first started the band, really. We just kind of learned through playing. So it was a little rough at first. So we would just get a lot of people just berate the shit out of us and just write into local radio stations and local, like, papers, like Stomp and Stammer, just be like, this is the worst band ever. Like, this is the reason women shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Fuck me.
Like,
are you serious?
Their parents should have had abortions on them. Yeah. It was brutal. So,
whoa.
So we thought it was a total joke. We were like, oh, there's no way. And so then finally he responded to us again another 6 months. And so this is like 8 or 9 years ago. And we were like, I guess we should get back to this guy. This seems awesome. So we played a show out here and met up with him and had a little meeting at a cafe and signed a contract with them, and ever since then we've been with him, and he's been supplying our dreams for like
Holy
9
shit.
Years.
Yeah. So was that a pretty exciting thing for you? Like,
yeah, that was huge.
Like, did
I mean,
you ever think that
no,
something like that would
never.
Ever happen?
No, we just thought we would always put out stuff through our local, you know, record labels in Atlanta, just punk houses and stuff. And because of him, we started getting more and more, like every album, we'd get a little bit more and more serious about it.
Yeah.
And then started touring more and more and started getting better shows and getting paid a little bit more and started wanting to learn our, you know, really like, really write songs and shit, you know, not just fucking around. So
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, because of David, we are where we are. You know, without him, I don't. I don't know if we still would be playing, because it's hard to be in a band, especially nowadays. You know, because everybody's in a band, which is awesome.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah. You know, it's a lot of competition, and I hate to say competition because it shouldn't be. You know, we should all just be.
No, pals. I feel that I totally know what you're saying.
Yeah, just to keep afloat and keep relevant, you gotta always be going at it. So that's why, you know, that's why we're here. And we love David, and he's the coolest record label owner of all time, because he lets us do pretty much everything we want.
I totally did, and David's been on the show, but I totally didn't expect to see him here for soundcheck.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he picked us up this morning for the KEXP thing. He picked us up at the airport yesterday. Yeah. He took us. Yeah, we took him out to dinner last night. He's just a pal. He's just our friend.
Yeah,
that's who happens to put out our records. Yeah. So we're very blessed, you know.
Yeah,
so,
that's awesome. That's cool. Awesome, man. So when did this the coat hangers actually start?
It was 10 years ago, and we were actually driving from Atlanta to Washington D.C. for an anti-Bush rally.
Yeah.
And sorry, yeah. Hold on just a sec.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry. Hi. Oh, hey. Is it okay?
That was Julia. Yeah, Julia Shapiro.
Yeah.
Shapiro of Chassis
Belt. I
love
her hair. I want to live in her hair. Yeah.
She's got great hair. I wish I had hair like that.
Yeah. You should totally wear your hair like that.
Like, it's falling out, man. It's totally falling out.
Let it fall out. Do your thing.
No. No.
A lot of men get weirded out about balding and stuff, but I've dated a lot of bald dudes.
I would not be weirded out about balding unless... Or if I had like a normal shaped head, like the problem is
you got
that
funny shaped head.
Yeah, I got like my mom pushed too hard or something. I don't
know.
But like,
is it coney?
It's kind of coney.
It's kind of coney.
Yeah, so okay. It's like slopes up right here.
Okay,
you can't see this at home, but it like slopes up from the forehead.
Okay,
to a point in the back, and then goes almost you know, straight down.
So in the future, toupees.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Do that.
Or one of those, like, they call it...
Hats?
Bump-ups? Or bump-its?
Bump it.
Bump it.
Bump it.
I'm going to get a bump it. For my toupee.
Either way, yeah. It's a win-win, right? Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Okay, so you guys started 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So we were going to this anti-Bush rally. Yeah. And it's like a 9-hour, 10-hour drive. So we're just nothing but time to...
So you guys were all friends.
We were all friends. I've known Julia since high school.
Mm-hmm.
I've known Meredith for 12 years. And at the time, we had two other friends. We had a keyboardist back in the day, and she was there too. And so we were just like, what if we started a band? And yeah, okay, well, maybe. You know, and just kind of like, it was all jokes. And then we just started talking about it. And then when we got back, it's kind of started happening. I moved away, and then I moved back, and then that's when we started practicing in Julia's living room.
So you were just talking about just making a band.
Guys, like, who doesn't want to be in a band? No.
Instruments? Or,
well, like, Julia played classical guitar and piano. And when I was growing up, I was forced to play saxophone and violin.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, but I wasn't that great at either one of them. So, like, it wasn't that great. But but I'd always wanted to play drums, like, ever since I was, like, a kid, you know. But being from, I don't know if it's because I'm from the South, but my dad is very traditional. And he was like, you know, young ladies don't play drums. Like, no cursing, no.
That's some bullshit right there, because I want my
Well, now he's
to
all about
drums.
It. Yeah. Is he? And it's, okay. Yeah, good. He's good. All about it. So, you know, things change, but this guy had stolen one of my bikes, so I stole his drum set and moved it into Julia's living room.
Don't gloss over this. So you had this rad bike.
Yeah,
I'm guessing it was pretty
cool
rad
BMX
bike.
Little bike, and you know, I wasn't like that great at riding it, but it was an expensive bike.
Yeah,
I, you know, got it, like, saved up money and got it, and this was when I was in college and went to one of these who I thought was my friend. He moved to Athens and he took my damn bike. And I was like, has anyone seen my bike?
He just fucking took it? You knew this guy.
Yeah. Knew this guy. And like, I was like, son of a bitch. I found it. Like, I was like at their like other house in Athens, and I was like looking for the bathroom, and I opened a closet door, and it was sitting right there, and I was like, son of a bitch. So I didn't say anything, and then I told his girlfriend the next day. I was just like, hey, he left to go to work, and I was like, I'm totally taking his drum set because he took my bike, and I was like, I don't really want the bike anymore, but I need a drum set. So, and she's like, I'll help you load it to the car. And I was like, okay. And I was like, let him know if he wants it back, he can come get it. And that was that. And haven't really seen him since.
That's so fucking great. Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So yeah.
Trade, I guess.
And then you just started playing drums.
Yeah, because, I mean, I had tried playing drums. Like, I'd fucked around when I was living. I moved to L.A. when I was, like, 22 to 24. Mm-hmm. And I knew this girl, Vet, and she had a drum set. So, you know, she played guitar, and I'd, like, mess around on drums. And I was like, I can do this.
So like, you had some, like, rudimentary knowledge.
A little bit, yeah. And then when I moved back, I took some drum lessons from this local, you know, or it's called Earthshaken Music. It's, like, you know, they sell bits and pieces.
Sure.
Music equipment, and they have this really cool guy, and he taught me some of the basics, and then I just kind of went off on my own and started figuring it out. Because with drums, it's just practice. Like, it's just practice, practice, practice. Like, guitar, and it's practice with those things too, but, you know, it's like, you really gotta, like, be talented at, I mean, you know, tiny little strings, tiny little frets.
It's like a full body kind of thing. And if you don't have, cause it, and I only know this because I don't have it. And, and I played drums in a band for a little while.
So, you know,
yeah, but it's like a full body workout, first of all. And then it's like, you have to have, you know, rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a super plus.
It's hard for us white people.
Right.
But yeah, well, I also used to do tap, jazz, and ballet when I was, for like 10 years when I was a kid. So I think that helped with the rhythm.
Oh, shit. So you were using your feet and
yeah, and just like keeping time. I think that had something to do with it.
One of the things that I had a problem with was like doing something different with my feet than I was doing with my right arm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And like, I've just now, like over the past 2 years, really like gotten to the point where I can do other stuff that's just so 4/4, you know? So,
right.
So, yeah, and that's been 10 years. So, you know, everyone's like, oh, drums are so hard. But I'm like, but yeah, isn't everything? Like, everything is hard.
Everything's fucking hard.
So if you like it enough, if you enjoy it, if you have fun with it, then there's never enough I can learn about drums. You know, I'm always watching other drummers just to, like, try to pick up other things. Like, Chris from Guitonimo and Tommy from fucking Audacity, they're two of my favorite drummers to watch. Like, they just never, they're always just going, you know? It's just like all over the place, but it's so good, you know?
Do you wish,
I can't wait.
Do you wish like that you had or that you had started at an earlier age?
I used to, but then I thought about it, and if I had, then I probably would have been in some really shitty emo bands. Like, you know, some shitty, really shitty emo bands. Like,
you would have been in Dashboard Confessional.
Or, like, My Chemical Romance or something like that. Because I was really into those.
Were you really?
Yeah, I've got no shame. Like, I'm into really, some really shitty music, too. Like, back in the day, you know. I had no shame, you know, a lot of guyliner. I was into guys with guyliner. So.
Guyliner, I
yeah,
I
dudes
even know
that
if
wear
I...
the black.
Oh, guyliner. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought that was a band.
It might be.
It could be.
I bet it is.
Right.
I'm totally sure there's a band called Guyliner. Shout out. Whoop whoop.
Should we play the game of best band names? Guyliner would be right at the top.
Guyliner's good. Yeah. What else? We can. What?
I thought of one. I thought Men at Twerk.
That's pretty good. I like what you did there. what were we talking about the other day? Oh, we used to have a joke. It was called, they're like, what's your favorite band right now during interviews when we weren't being serious? Mm-hmm. And we say Gorilla Face. And people are like, oh, I love that band. And it's like,
are you serious?
But Gorilla Face is when you're like, you're having sex with a person. And then you, before the guy comes, he rips out the pubes of the other person, throws them on their face, and then comes on their face. So it's like a gorilla face. So, so people, and so we would fuck with people, and they would be like, "Oh yeah, I love that band." I'm like, "You have no idea what that is. Like, that's great." Oh my God.
So you,
like every now and then,
that's in an interview.
Yeah,
you guys would tell the interviewer
a lot of the earlier interviews. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and it's funny just to mess with people. You know, back then especially, like,
yeah,
because there's so, you know, it's like. nowadays it's like we're really blessed. Like, we get to do cool stuff like this, you know. Yeah. But back in the day, it was just like, you know, like, who's cooler? And, like, who knows? How much do you know about music? And
yeah,
just,
but
and
that
like,
still happens.
Man.
You can, and yeah, I read recently, I'm not going to say who it is or who the band was, but it was a fucking Rolling Stone interview.
Okay.
And they asked a question akin to what you just said.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
It's like when
still,
did this become,
we're
like,
still that?
Yeah, like, come on, man. Who the fuck cares? Like, it's just ridiculous. I just hate when music becomes, like I was saying, like competition, when it's like
sure.
the cool guys club, you know, it's
yeah.
like, because that's the antithesis. Like, most people who are in bands are usually like dorks like myself, and it's like, that's why we play music. It's because it's something that we all enjoy and we all get along
sure.
and we have a good time with each other and we can all dork out together.
Right.
You know, like, so it bums me out whenever, you know, especially when you meet a band that you really like and then they're just total jerks, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah.
oh man, I can't even listen to you anymore. Hey, so sorry. No, we'll be out of here in just a
That's
minute.
Cool. I'm just gonna grab this thing.
Yeah. yeah. How's it yeah. going?
Hey,
yeah.
good
What's
to see
your
you.
Name?
Stacy.
Stacy, right? Stephanie.
Stephanie.
Yeah. So nice. Yeah.
yeah.
See. Yeah.
Enjoy
right on.
It.
Thanks. Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, we took your room. so I was talking to Julie. Is it
Julia? Yeah.
Upstairs and on the subject of interviews, and one of the first interviews that you guys had, the question was something to the effect of, like, you know, something about your cuteness, or
oh,
if you were gonna like, you know, rely
like,
on that or something
right.
like that.
And I'm like,
right?
I'm like, oh, we're cute. I was like, awesome. Like, cute is not usually an adjective that I use to describe myself. But
well, sure. And I was actually
yeah,
surprised
kind of
that it was a woman interviewer.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. That like, it's this girl we knew too. We're like, what the uh-huh. hell, man? Like, what are you talking about? Like, if I could rely on my quote unquote cuteness for
yeah.
anything, then I would totally use it.
Well, there's
to
a
get
weird
free shit, but
there's a weird
that's
thing,
ridiculous.
And maybe it's because I'm a little tipsy that I'm going
to
ask you this question, or maybe it's
I need
you
to catch
know
up.
Just it's a good question. I don't know. or maybe it's terrible.
No, go
Who
on,
knows?
Go on,
Who knows?
Please.
But there's a thing that happens with all female bands
yeah.
that somebody inevitably ask the feminism question.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've always thought that's a little weird. It's like, no, these people are making music.
Right.
And that's what they're here to do. That's
right.
what they want to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Does there need to be a message behind it?
Right. I mean,
does
know,
that get tiresome? Like,
no, it doesn't.
Because like, I imagine that
well,
you guys have had that
it's
question
not tiresome,
many times.
It, you know, and it's like, you know, we are feminists. I think people forget that the, you know, the definition of feminism is about equality. It's not like women
right.
rule and men suck and only women, you know, like
yeah,
we
yeah.
only want to play with women. And, you know, it's like, fuck that. Like, we just want to be treated just like all of my dude friends' bands want to be treated, just
sure.
with a little, you know, an ounce of respect. And just if you like it, then hang out. If you don't, then cool. But, you know, like people are like, what's the difference, you know, about being in a girl band? I'm like, well, I couldn't answer that because I've never been in a guy band. I've never been a dude. So
yeah.
but I think it's the same. I think, you know, there are, of course, like certain, you know, if a guy's being like sexually explicit, you know, towards us while we're playing or shouting indecent shit, then, you know,
right, right.
But, you know, we regulate it and we ask them to leave and then, you know, that's it. And I think there are a lot of feminist bands that's their thing. They want to be pro women and anti male and okay, like do that. But it's never something that we set out thinking about. We just wanted to play music. We just wanted to hang out and play music, you know. So when it, of course, if a, you know, what's the coolest part is if like younger chicks, when we play all ages shows, they come up and they're like, you're the reason I started playing drums. Like, I never saw a girl play drums like you, or I never saw a girl play guitar like you or bass like you, you know, and that's why I started playing bass. It's like, well, that's awesome. Like, hell yeah, like more power to you. Like, girls don't always have to be just the girlfriend
yeah.
or the groupie,
yeah.
you know? And so that's awesome, you know, but it's, you know, and we're all about empowering other women, but we're also not like anti-man and like
yeah.
anti,
yeah.
you know, like we don't have to play with all female bands all
sure.
the time, you know? If we just want to play with bands that we sound like and that go with us, you know, that
yeah.
would be comparable. So,
well, that's one of the cool things about now, the time that we're in, as well, is because I was just talking with Kim Warnick. I don't know if you're
okay.
familiar with the band The Fastbacks.
No, but yeah, that sounds
they're a
really
seminal punk band here in Seattle.
Okay.
Back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
And I was just talking to her about that, too, because when she was growing up, she, you know, she's grew up in the late 50s, early 60s.
Right.
And she didn't have any female, you know, musicians
Very
to look up
time.
To.
Yeah.
And she felt like she was a weirdo. She kept on saying that throughout the interview. This interview is going to actually post the week after yours.
But, okay, cool.
But I was like, I'd never thought of that before.
Yeah, and that's where, like, it's different, because nowadays there's so many females in rock, and there's so
sure.
many coming out,
yeah.
and I think that's great, and I think that is awesome. You know, I mean, it's like, to me, to us, it's just, we're just like, why is this? Like, even when we were getting off the plane last night, you know, like Julia went to go get her guitar from the coat closet, you know, it's in a soft case, so she put it in the coat closet on the plane. And the pilot is, you know, standing, like, saying goodbye to everybody. And she pulls out. He's like, oh, really? Oh, like, oh, women play guitar. Like, and I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, why is this so weird? Like, and I guess.
Yeah.
It, maybe it is weird to other people, like, that aren't in, like, music and art and our kind of people. Like, you know. But I was just like, are you for real, though? Like. It was just, he was shocked. I mean, granted, he was a little bit, but it was like, he just couldn't believe it. It's like, she's not pulling out a
you
first
just
stole.
Blew,
yeah,
that
she's pulling
like
out this. It blew his little bit. And I was like, you just flew the plane. How is that shocking to you? That scares me.
Minds were being blown all over the place,
I was like,
on that
that's
flight.
Terrifying.
Oh my God.
That you can fly a plane. Yeah. Hey, what's up, Jen? Yeah. Hi. Okay, yeah. So anyway, so it was just like, okay. So I guess maybe it is shocking, but like you were saying, like I was watching this documentary, even like with Janis Joplin and.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's
the one
so,
on Netflix.
Oh, and I love her. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was the same thing. She felt like a freak. She, you know, people treated her and called her names, called her dyke and lesbian, you know, because, oh, well, only guys play music. And so,
right.
You know, I can't
or front
imagine.
Bands.
Yeah, you yeah, know? Of course. And, you know, there was also this other article recently. I can't remember if it was some mag. I can't remember his blog. But anyways, they were saying, you know, when a woman in music is, you know, drinking and going crazy and kind of, you know, maybe falling off track a little bit, she's crazy and she's wild and she's losing it, you know.
Yeah.
But when a guy does it, it's like, oh, he's a real true musician and, like, he's so above it and, like, you know, he's an artist, you know. And it's just like, that's also another thing. It's like when females go crazy like the dudes, then it's like, oh, well, then we're insane and we need medication, you know, or rehab. But it's like when the dudes do it, like, oh, he's such an artist. Like,
right. Yeah, he's tortured.
Oh, he's tortured. Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Tortured.
Yeah. And so that's kind of getting old. But hopefully we, you know, if we can change people's minds.
Do you find that that's still the case even?
Yeah, I think so. Because, yeah.
And I'm only asking because I don't know. Like,
even from personal experience, and it's just like, well, you know what? Fuck you, man. Because I can drink you under the table. And I can, you know, it's like, we can hang with the best. It's like, you know, go fuck yourself if you think that I'm crazy or if you think I'm unbalanced or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I'd prefer you to think that anyways because it's a lot more fun.
Sure.
So,
you know
whatever.
What I just realized?
Everybody's
got
an opinion.
Is that basically I have just, in a roundabout way, asked the same question that I asked you. Or that I thought that you might be tired of answering.
No, yeah. No, I'm just glad you're asking me questions. I'm glad you're interested.
Let's go to our second musical break. We're featuring music from the Coat Hangers off their new album, which is out now on Suicide Squeeze Records, called Nosebleed Weekend. It is fantastic.
Thanks a lot.
I can't recommend it enough. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
Yeah.
So what is the punk scene like in Georgia, man?
Well, in Atlanta, it's there used to be a lot more of it, I want to say, but
do you want to
still...
sit in a more comfortable spot?
Oh, no, I'm fine.
You,
I'm good.
Sure? Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
I always worry about that because I have massive back problems.
I do too.
You can probably see because I slouch like a motherfucker.
No, me too. I've got a bad back too, but no, I feel good.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Good. Just want to make sure.
But yeah, no, there's still like a big music scene in Atlanta. There always has been. Like when we were coming up, like, you know, the Black Lips were helping us out. And
what?
Deer Hunter.
Really?
Yeah. Like, and it was like one big family. It was, you know, because it was... They were getting big. Deer Hunter was getting big, but they hadn't really broken. Even Mastodon was helping. They still help us. I mean, it's like...
What?
Geez,
you know the guys in Mastodon?
Right? Everyone freaks out. But, it's, you know, it's just
That's
like
amazing.
Everybody drinks at the same bar and
sure.
everybody hangs out and everybody's like works at the same bar venues, you know? Like I work at Star Bar and then there's the Earl, you know? And it's just like one big family. And I feel like, I don't know, we're not in Atlanta a lot because we're on tour a lot. But I know that there's a... There's a nice hardcore scene there that's still well and alive, and there's some more shoegazy stuff that's been coming out, and there's always
hardcore scene can thrive anywhere.
I do too. I feel like people aren't as angry as we used to be 10 years ago. I don't know. Because it's like sometimes
Are you serious?
Like,
because
and I'm
if
like,
you
I'm
watch
like,
the news, people are really fucking angry.
Maybe they're not making enough music to get that out. Maybe they're just as angry, but I don't know what the kids are doing.
Maybe they died down.
I'm
like this
like,
whole...
feel like an old lady. I don't know. I don't have my finger on the pulse. But I feel like, you know, there's just not a lot of punk rock in Atlanta anymore as much as there used to be.
I don't know if there's a lot of and I'm probably completely
wrong. I feel
like
it comes
in
waves, you know?
Well, I don't think there's a lot of like real punk rock like what you guys are doing, what bands like Chastity Belt are doing. Like I don't feel like there's a lot of punk rock anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
Like I think it's a punk rock got fucking completely whitewashed in the like late 90s.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Blink 182, Green Day probably started it
right
on the mainstream.
Yeah.
And then it just became fucking at some point Avril Lavigne.
Right.
You know?
It's true. And it got kind of corny. And I think that's why sometimes there's a negative connotation to it because that's what people think punk rock is, you know? And it's
right.
Like,
right.
Like, you know, like, of course that shit's fun, you know, when you're younger, but. It's like, no, that's not right. Like, you're missing, like, the,
Well, I think
you know.
it's starting to recede a little bit. Like, it's the wave has crested. It's coming back.
Yeah.
And it's revealing bands like the Coat Hangers. It's revealing bands like Chastity Belt. It's revealing other bands that are on,
Do you
like,
want to go to
like
our
like
room?
Green.
Is that okay if we move real quick?
Yeah, can we do that?
Can we do that real quick?
Sure, let's
Okay,
do
hold on just a sec.
Yeah. Punk rock music. it seemed to kind of take over there for a long time.
Yeah.
And what I was saying was, like, the wave has crested, and it's coming back a little bit and revealing bands like yourself, and a lot of really great stuff is starting to come out again.
Yeah, and then you've got, like, Off, you know, and you've got, like, Iggy Pop and, like, all these, like, legends coming back and playing, which is also
making
exciting.
New albums
yeah.
and playing shows, touring again and stuff like that,
yeah.
which is super exciting. So I guess my question would be is, like, do you feel like you guys are on the cusp of something or...
I don't know. I feel like
part
we're
of a,
doing
part
really
of a new
well.
Movement?
Yeah. I definitely feel like we're part of something, you know? It's like... Because just, like, the lineup tonight, you know, with Guantanamo, Audacity, Childbirth, and then you've also got, like, even, like, all female, but, like, okay, you've got, like, Cherry Glazer and, like, La Luz and...
La Luz, yeah.
Just there's a bunch of bands that we love playing with that are coming out, and it's great. So I think, I don't know what it is, but it's fun. We're having a good time with it, so, yeah. So, yeah, I guess so. Where'd I go?
Great way to answer that
Thank
question,
you.
Stephanie. That was fantastic.
Yes,
okay.
I do what I can.
Okay. Take two.
Okay.
All right.
Check.
Yeah. No, so take me back a little bit. Like, what was growing up in your household like? Was there a lot of music around? Like, how did you said this before, like, you guys you guys, you, Meredith, and Julia just kind of got together and you were like, we should be a band.
Yeah.
But, like, there has to be something behind that, right? Like, well, there has to be at least a love of music.
Definitely a love of music from all of us. And then when I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of music at all. But when I got into middle school, high school, like, I found my punk rock friends, you know? Like, and so I got introduced to all that. And then... I moved to LA and I went to Musicians Institute for music.
Oh, you
music
did.
Business. I was originally going to go. Yeah, I was originally going to go for sound engineering. And then last minute, they had this new program called Music Business. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. Which is like, maybe not the best.
So, what do you want to do? Like A&R?
Want to tour manage. So, I graduated from there, which is
how do
I was
you.
Like
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
How do you decide you want to be a tour manager? Though?
Well,
tour manager to me, like, yeah. I didn't even find out about really what a tour manager was until I started doing this show.
Well, you know, with all these punk rock friends I had, they were all in bands, you know?
Okay.
A lot of dudes in these awesome bands, and, like, I was always Mama Steph, like, always took care of everybody.
Okay. Because
I really didn't drink or, you know, do anything else until I was, like, 21, 22, like, later in life. So I was always taking
good
care
kid.
Of everybody. Yeah, I was a very good kid. So, almost too good. But yeah, so I, you know, it was kind of like, and I found out, you know, I was like, oh, so like that's the person who like, you know, drives, you know, takes care of. I was like, I already do that. Like, I should get paid for that, you know.
Right.
So I met up with some friends from Atlanta, actually, and they had started a band in California with these other guys. And so I went on a couple tours with them, went on Warped Tour, and kind of learned how to tour, you know.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And I did it for like 2 years, and I was just like, fuck this. Like, because I wasn't really getting paid.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
as much as I loved touring and loved all these guys, I was like, I can totally play shitty drums. Like, I can do that. Like, I want to be the... At that point, I was getting to the point where I was starting to drink. I started wanting to hang out. And I was like, I don't want to be the person just waiting around, you know, like in
the
band.
You want to be on the stage.
No, I just wanted to have fun. And I wanted to play music. I was tired of, you know, I was tired of babysitting. So, you know, so that's when we moved back and I was like, we can do this, you know, just for fun and just see what happens. And then,
so do you think it was your knowledge, your peripheral knowledge of the music scene and the music business that kind of was like the pusher?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And, that's exactly what kind of started it. And then, we had friends, you know, in Atlanta who were also playing, and there used to be this huge practice space called Thunderbox in Atlanta, which is now gone, unfortunately. But our friends were like, you should, you know, you can share practice space with us. And we're like, okay. And then someone was like, you should play a show. And we're like, what? Play a show? Blah. And so we're like, okay. And so we played a couple shows, and then we started getting into...
How did that go?
It was hilarious.
Show?
Like, we didn't move. Like, there's no moving. It was just, like, very, like, deer in the headlights, you know?
Yeah.
And it was terrifying because we had no, like, we had no idea what we were, like, just
did
no
you have
idea.
Songs?
Yeah. I mean, they were not, like, I mean, you can call them songs, I guess. Like, they were, like, a minute long each, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere, you know?
Sure,
And that's the beauty of it. It's, like, where you take it is up to you. So, but... That's why when people are like, oh, I could never, you know, like, I'm not good enough. I'm like, well, everyone is not good, you know, and they start.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not some, like, musical geniuses, but, you know, for most of us, like, we're all just kind of figuring it out. So if you want to do it, just fucking do it, you know. You're the only one keeping yourself back.
That's fucking great,
yeah.
man. Okay. That is the coolest. That's that is I've been doing this show for six and some odd years.
Awesome.
And that's probably my favorite origin story.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's my favorite
awesome.
Story. Sitting in a car with a couple of your friends and going, you know what? We should just start a band.
We should do this.
Yeah. Play a show. Okay, we're going to play a show. Whoa, that sucked.
Yeah.
Let's play another one.
We should definitely play another one. we can do better than that. And, like, we used to have, like, all these props and, like, balloons.
Yeah.
Meredith would bake cupcakes and cookies. And because we were basically like, look over here. Like, look over here.
Right,
like,
right,
don't
right.
look over here.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
But we just treated it like a party because we just wanted to have fun. We didn't want to, everyone's so serious, you know? And it's like, let's have a party. Just
yeah.
party, you know?
Well, that's one of the things that I was talking to Julia upstairs mm-hmm. about as well. Like, she was kind of giving me the rundown of, like, because you guys are selling all of your albums upstairs at the merch table.
Yeah.
And And I had never seen the cover art of, I want to say it's your first album.
The first one is the pink one, which we don't have.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna try to
second one where the it's the dude in like a dog pose.
Oh, that's almost. Yeah, that's a chick actually, but
oh, that's a chick.
Kind of looks
okay.
like a dude.
I
but yeah,
am
no,
very
that's the third one.
That
was our third one.
Okay, that's your third.
Larceny
one.
And Old Lace. Yeah.
So Julia was saying, yeah, it was like, you know, the progression of these albums was just like this one was junior high. Or this
exactly.
one was elementary school, this one was junior high,
totally.
This one was high school.
Yeah.
And now we get to Nosebleed Weekend where we've graduated.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
totally.
We've finally, it's been a 10-year, like, arc
yeah,
of
yeah.
where we've come to
and,
today.
Yeah, because it's basically like,
and gotten more, progressively more serious.
Yeah, and it's because, like, we've, you know, I'm getting old. Like, you know, I'll be 35 in a couple months. So it's like.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I made it. Yeah. I can't believe it. Yeah. I did not die yet. But anyway. So, yeah. But even 25 to 35, that's such a, that's like a lot of
that's
growing.
A huge, that's a huge
the,
difference.
You know, it's yeah. like after 35, yeah. it's like, this is probably who I'm going to be for a while. You
right.
know? I'm
going
to be this asshole yeah. for a long time. But, you know, but that's a big arc. And it was like, yeah, it's true. And that's, you know, it's like, how, we were just like, well, how serious do we want to take it? You know, where do we want to go with it? And
yeah.
so we just decided to run with it. So I'm glad we did. It's the best thing I'll ever do.
Well, and that's a really interesting way to look at it, too, like how you guys have progressed. Because I was, you know, I rarely do a whole lot of research.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I come into a that's, conversation like
that's
this, because
fun though, it's yeah, kind of like
well, totally.
To,
I'm learning about
exactly.
you. You know, I'm learning
that's
about the band.
What an interview's for.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah,
fucking thank you.
Yeah, dude.
Why aren't massive, you know, millions of people listening to this? But I shouldn't say that because now you're like, why am I doing this? Okay, great. But it's an interesting way to think about it, like. Because when I was watching like earlier recordings of you guys, like there were some where you were using like a squeaky toy
yeah.
or like
yeah.
What was the song? What was the song I was watching? It was recorded in a park. And
oh, was it acoustic?
Yes, it was acoustic.
Yeah.
And you had the fourth member.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And I had like a tambourine.
Yes, you were playing a tambourine.
I broke it. I felt awful. But anyway,
yeah.
I didn't do.
But it was kind of a fun. It was kind of a boppy song, you
yeah.
know. It was very loose,
uh-huh.
And it was fun lyrics.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then to watch where you guys have come to, you know, Nosebleed Weekend, where it's a bit more serious, and you guys are taking yourselves more seriously, and it's like, you know, there's a message.
Yeah.
Almost behind the song as well.
Yeah, and we've gotten more. We started realizing, you know, like people listen to what you say sometimes.
Yeah,
so
right,
it's like, so now
right.
we especially when we're writing lyrics now, it's like we're kind of more, we try not to write so personally. It's like,
yeah,
it comes from a personal place, but it's not just, okay, this is me about my experience. It's like, because for the most part, we as humans, we all go through the same basic fucked up experiences, right? Just in a
sure.
different level. So, you know, I just know when I connect really deeply with a song, it's usually on a general, it's like a general lyric, you know, style to it, where it's like,
yeah.
oh, that's me, man. Like, that's my experience with that. So we've gotten kind of more, and we try to, you know, we're not as angry as we used to be either. Kind of chilled out a little bit, you know, so hormones, but, you know. So I think it's just, yeah, it's like we started taking ourselves a little bit more seriously, and it shows.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you can see that, because it is serious to us. It's very serious to us now. It's like,
yeah.
this band is like truly who we are, and what you see is what you get, like on stage. You know, I mean, we're maybe not that energetic off stage, but you know, it's like
you guys are pretty energetic.
We're
off stage.
All right for our ages.
You're good.
Yeah.
You're good.
So I don't know. We're stoked, and having David back us all the
yeah.
way has been really great. So
did it feel like this would ever be something that would, you know. I mean, you know, being flown out to Seattle
never.
Or to anywhere, really.
I mean,
like, would that ever be a thing?
We never thought, you know, any of this would happen. Like,
sure.
we've gotten to see the world because of this band, and how great of a job is that? Like, you know,
yeah.
like, shit, we did some right, you know. So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
such a blessing, and we're so excited to see what else we get to do.
Yeah, hashtag blessed.
Yeah,
right.
Why the hell not? Do the shit.
Yeah. Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining me.
This has been so much fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, we get the handshake.
Yeah.
Yes,
very
man.
Awesome.
God damn it, I wish I could have brought my daughters down here just to see.
Well, next
play drums.
Time.
Because I really, like, that's the one thing that I really want
yeah.
my daughters to do is just
well, next
play
time,
drums.
Yeah. We play a lot of all ages shows. So
do you really?
Next time, yeah.
Okay.
We
next time
to
you guys come
it.
To Seattle, I'm going to bring
do
my
do it.
Kiddos.
Tegan and what's the other one?
Tegan
name?
And Tatum.
Tatum?
Yeah.
Tegan and Tatum.
Yeah, and it's the worst two names that you could ever think for sisters because it's like, it's
they,
Tegan.
They don't know.
Tegan. Tatum, you know, you just
totem,
yeah,
right,
yeah, you mix them up.
No, it's good. Up. They're original names. It's good. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the new record. It's fantastic.
Thank
it's
you.
Called Nosebleed Weekend. It's available now on Suicide Squeeze Records. And what should we plug? What's coming up?
We're gonna be going to Australia.
What?
Yes.
Have you been there before?
We have once before, but this time we get to actually go to New Zealand as well. We get to play
Stay
one show
away from. The things that can kill you, which is
which
basically
is everything.
Everything.
It's
everything. In, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. But we get to do that, and then we get to play a couple festivals, and then take some time off for the holidays, and then we start all over again next spring. And
awesome.
Just, we'll be touring all
awesome.
Over again next year.
And you guys writing new stuff for new
always,
record?
Always writing. Julia was just let me listen to some new stuff earlier.
Rad.
Soundcheck. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great to hear. And we'll have links to all that stuff.
Okay, cool.
At air-raid.net, so check that out. Stephanie, once again, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Aaron, that was great.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Stephanie of the Coat Hangers. Once again, go to coathangers or thecoathangers.com. Get yourself a copy of Nosebleed Weekend on Suicide Squeeze Records. It is absolutely wonderful. Once again, the September 8th through the 10th, they'll be at Hopscotch Music Festival in Raleigh, North Carolina. September 17th and 18th, they'll be at Music Midtown in Atlanta, Georgia, their hometown. Then September 30th at Whammy Bar in Newton, New Zealand, at Churchill's on October 1st in Christchurch, New Zealand. October 2nd, Yours and Owls Festival in North Wollongong, Wollongong, Australia. And then on and on, okay? Gonna be in Australia. That's so cool. So cool. All right. My God. I gotta get out of here, man. My kids are making a mess out in the yard. Okay, you can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. Even though we're coming to an end, it still matters. It gets the word out there. We still want people to get the word out on this show, man. We do, because we love it. I love it. You love it. Tell people about it. We're also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, Cairo Radio, and Spreaker apps. Or you can just visit air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/theairraidpodcast and follow us on Twitter at airraidnet or email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. If you have any questions or anything like that, comments, we want to get your emails. Tell us, your experience with the show and, we'll read those on air. And remember to take the pledge. Pledge to tell somebody about the show. As we go on in the years, we still, like I said, we want you guys to do that, man. We want you guys to hear all this amazing art that people have made. Not only the stuff that I'm putting out there for myself, because it's coming to an end, but there are all sorts of bands on this show that I think the world needs to know about. And that was the point of this show originally. So go and do that. All right. All right. We're going to go out today with another song off of Nosebleed Weekend by the Coat Hangers. It's been a pleasure, folks. I have had a great, great time talking with you. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I hope you guys have a great week, okay? So, we'll be back next week with an all-new episode of the Air Raid Podcast for you with special guest Kim Warnick, as I said earlier in the show. From a seminal punk rock band from the Seattle scene back in the 80s, 90s, the Fastbacks. Yeah, we have a great conversation, man. Great, great conversation. Okay, thank you guys for listening. We hope you have a great week. I love you so much. We'll see you on the other side.
of Sunday. I don't even know what that means. I don't know. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to me. Have a great weekend.